All right, okay. It's Magnificent Vibes Podcast. All right, okay. It's Magnificent Vibes Podcast. Yeah. Welcome to Magnificent Vibes Podcast. Featuring your boy Ian Ray. And we got a good show ahead of you. Today we're going to talk about the Bears striking gold with the best, if not the best, or one of the best defensive players in the league. We're going to discuss whether this makes the Bears a playoff team. Also, we have a new segment coming up, and it's called Don't Press In. You'll see. Stay tuned. We also have a new segment entitled Door to Door, which we'll be talking about different topics that Ian might be interested in or might not be interested in. Stay tuned for that as well. Also, we're going to talk about different Magnificent Vibes music-wise that we've been listening to, and we're going to put y'all up on it. So just sit back, relax, enjoy the vibes, enjoy the sports talk, enjoy the media talk, and most importantly, enjoy the show. You is most adept, you alcoholic. I'ma be surfing that thing that's worth feeling. Hyperdynamically shoot up your field.
Yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo. We on?
We got a connection, man. We good. Reporting live from the lovely Wow Hundreds on the south side of Chicago, man.
Oh, the Wow, Wow.
Yeah, you nice. Know it, man. You know it. Home base for me, man.
Okay, so I'm thinking 103rd. You got that Harold's Chicken over there on 103rd. It's still over there?
It's still over there, man. They kind of fell off a little bit, but it's still over there.
Oh, they been fell off, dude. That ain't nothing new. But it's a staple, though.
I've been sipping cough syrup all day, man. So I'm not 100%, man. I'm fighting a real bad summer cold right now. So,
oh man, I had the summer flu. I had the summer flu last week, man. I couldn't even. I mean, I lost my appetite, dude. That's how bad a commission I was.
Same with me, man. I haven't been hungry, man. I just it's bad, man. But I'm making it, man. I'm making it.
Oh, that's what's up. We got a big show. 2 weeks since we shot our last episode, so we got a lot to catch up on, including some stuff that's happening locally. One is Michael Kopech. Before we get into him, because I got a special segment for him. But we definitely about to talk about the Bears to start off the show since the season is underway, and that's what everybody's talking about, this big move that the Bears made, this huge trade that they made. The question is, and now that is what we're like 3 days removed from that day of the trade, now things are starting to simmer down. Now everybody's kind of talking in perspective. It's not like a first reaction type thing. So let's see, 3 days in, how do you feel, Ian? Do you think they have a chance to make the playoffs with this big move?
Well, full disclosure, I like I said last time, I haven't really been keeping up with the NFL offseason, preseason, et cetera. And to be honest, man, like the NFL, man, the last 2-3 years, I have been losing interest more and more. I'm like that rapper that hates rap, man, when it comes to the NFL. I love sports, man, but something about the NFL just been leaving a bad taste in my mouth lately. But you asked the question, do I think the Bears have a shot at the playoffs? No, because of the division they're in. They're still in a pretty competitive division. I don't care what anybody says. And it's the Bears. You know, they find ways to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So I don't know, man. I think the Bears are still going to go 8-8 this year. I don't know that much about Khalil Mack. Maybe you could school me a little bit and, you know, kind of open my eyes a little bit to more to what he's, you know, what he's capable of.
Right. Well, Khalil Mack won Defensive Player of the Year. He led the league in sacks at 15, and he was doing this playing linebacker and defensive end.
He has 10 sacks last year, which is a step down from his previous performances.
Okay.
But the Bears were in the top 10 in defense last year, and they did this with no-name players. So now you add a big name, top three defensive player in the league. You add a guy like him to an already stout defense. And to me, I feel like this is great news for a quarterback like Trubisky, which means you don't have to be forced to try to display this. I know they got Matt Nagy as their new head coach, and he's all about offense, and he wants to get the ball down the field. But now you could play it a little safe and really take your time with Mitchell Trubisky's development. You don't have to rush him and trying to be a Peyton Manning or this, that, and the other. You can work him to that because now you got a defense on the other end that's going to give a lot of teams problems. However, I know you're sticking to your 8-8. I know I said 8-8 in the last show, but I think Khalil Mack gives them one more win than 8-8. I think it gives them a 9-7 chance this season. I'm not ready to put them in the playoffs too, because I still think that Green Bay and Minnesota are stronger.
Absolutely.
Based off quarterback, not defense, just based off quarterback situation. Green Bay still has that man, and Minnesota still got that half of a man. And half of a man and a man can beat a boy any day. So, which is Trubisky. He's still but a boy, like Jeremiah in the Bible. So
I'm but a boy.
You know what I mean? That's what Trubisky is. So that's the reality. I think they will finish the season 9-7. I think they're better than Detroit, most definitely, because Detroit didn't do anything to upgrade their defense. But to put people in perspective, as far as those who aren't getting as excited with Khalil Mack, because of, like, we might have listeners that say, oh, the Bears gave up too much as far as giving away 2 first round picks. Well, let's think about the history of the Bears first round picks. Do you remember any of the Bears first round picks
going
into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I already know where you were going with that. The Bears don't draft well.
They don't. They draft it's okay. I'm pulling up a list of Bears first round draft picks. All right. And I'm going to date it back to, I'm going to say 1999. No, 1998, because I want to make a joke about this one. 1998. Nope. You know who they've drafted with the 5th pick in the NFL draft?
Who was that?
Curtis Enos. Remember that fool?
Oh, yeah.
That dude was a scrub.
I remember him, yep.
I remember he had one game. He scored a touchdown, and he went into the end zone. After he scored a touchdown, he laid down on the ground and put his hand on top of his head to pose in front of the Bears fans while they cheer. And that's the only touchdown I remember him scoring the whole season. I mean, he was garbage, dude. He was beyond garbage.
I remember Enos, man.
Yeah.
I remember making fun of his last name. And then on top of it, like, dude, like, you're not even that good. It's like, how you going to have a last name Enos and you're not even a player, man? We already going to make fun of you because your last name rhymes with Enos or anus, you know?
Oh, man.
You better be a beast with the last name Enos, man.
Exactly. You can't have a name like that. Like, there are certain names that you just can't have as a star football or baseball player. You can't have Roach. I don't see Roach being a good last name for anybody to name in the future. I don't see butts. I mean, I don't see that, Enos is terrible. Okay. Kay McNabb. We all know who that trash is.
Yep.
Brian Urlacher made it to the Hall of Fame. That's one.
That's the one.
David Terrell. I got a story on David Terrell, but I'm not going to get into it. But he was trash. Mark Colombo, trash. Michael Haynes, trash. Rex Grossman, trash. Tommy Harrison. Now, Tommy Harrison was Harris was good for like a couple of years, and then he started getting hurt. If he would have not have got hurt, I think he would have turned out to have a Hall of Fame career, but he has injuries that kind of derailed his career. So I'm not going to count Tommy Harris. That was a good pickup by the Bears. Cedric Benson, oh, trash. I will remind people about Cedric Benson. How about he got punked out in the Super Bowl game against the Indianapolis Colts, where he got hit one time and was like, oh, you know what? I made my appearance in the Super Bowl. I'm out. I got my jersey. I can sell this jersey for about $50,000 later on, like 10 years from now, whatever. He's an idiot. They didn't have a pick in 2006 because they made the Super Bowl. Greg Olsen was a good pick. That was in 07.
He was okay.
He was okay for the Bears, but when he got to Carolina, his career really took off.
Yeah.
Chris Williams, I don't even remember him. Gabe Karimi, don't remember him.
I don't even remember him, yeah.
Shea McClellan was a bum. I remember him. They thought he was going to be like that next linebacker next to Urlacher and Briggs to be that like to solidify the other side of the field. He was trash. Kyle Long, he's a good pick, but I mean, he keeps getting hurt. So, well, Kyle Fuller, they just pay him. We'll see if he's worth it. Kevin White hasn't played a single game for the Bears. I think he only played like 4 games since they drafted him.
What's he doing? Carrying Gatorade?
Yeah, I think that's what he's been doing. Leonard Floyd so far has been a good pick for the Bears. And then again, the kid, Mitchell Trubisky and Roquan Smith, we don't know what he's going to be. So out of all of these picks, out of all these number one picks, we only got one Hall of Famer out of all those number one picks the Bears drafted.
Out of 20 years of drafts.
Yeah, 20 years. So Bears fans, calm down on that whole, oh, we gave up 2 first round picks for I don't think it's worth it. First of all, we're fans that always complain about the Bears, the Bulls, White Sox, even Cubs in the past, of not spending money, being too cheap, not going after the big names. The Bears finally do something they've never done as a franchise, is go after a big name. Be happy, Bears fans, with getting Khalil Mack. Trust me, he's going to be worth the ticket sales. The man is a beast, like I said. But the one thing that I'm going to chill on the breaks with is playoff talk. Let's calm down on that, Bears fans.
Yeah.
Not ready to put them in the playoffs yet.
Let's get to game. Let's get to week 8 first.
Right. Exactly. So
Bears fans do this every year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, big time. Bears fans do this every year, and it's not worth getting. All you're going to do is give yourself a headache. You know, I'm already seeing stuff up talking about the Bears are going to upset Green Bay the first game of the season. Based on what? Because of one player. I mean, Khalil hasn't practiced with the squad yet. He's just being plugged in. Like, that's not going to change the dynamics. He still got to learn a new defense because the Bears run – well, they run a 3-4, which is the same thing what Oakland ran, but still, it's still a different scheme. So he still got to learn his new players. And then you're going up against a Hall of Fame quarterback for your first game. Like, this man, Aaron Rodgers has seen it all. He's seen blitzes. He's went up against Hall of Fame linebackers, Hall of Fame defensive ends, cornerbacks. Aaron's going to know what to do. Let's chill on that. All the Bears are gonna, you know, win. They're gonna stun Green Bay the first game of the season.
Aaron Rodgers, he get happy when he see that blue and orange, man. That blue and orange get him in the zone, man.
Yeah, big time.
But going back to what you were saying about drafts, though, like I just want to thank you, Rodney, for not dedicating a show to an NFL or an NBA draft episode because. I find nothing more boring than a bunch of whack teams, you know what I mean? Like pontificating about what this dude's going to do, what that dude's going to do for the franchise when they haven't played a single game, man. I can't think of anything more boring and in a more fruitless conversation, man. So thank you for not doing a draft episode for either league.
Hey, you know what? A lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, with college football, I don't follow college football. So I don't know half these players that come get drafted into, you know, the pros in the NFL. The NBA, the draft is only interesting the first five picks, and then that's it. Everything else is ho-hum, unless somebody – and then you don't see nobody really blossom. Like, for example, Kyle Kuzma, right? Nobody was talking about Kyle Kuzma when he got drafted, but he kind of took off, you know, beginning of the season. He was killing and everything. And then what kills me is people will be like, well, why did Bulls pass him up? Or why does team pass him up? He's the 19th pick, this, that, and other. Like you knew Kyle Kuzma was going to be this good.
Right. But
no one was saying anything about him. Come on, guys, please get it together, man. I don't really follow college basketball as much either, because it's watered down ever since the one and done rule, which I think they need to get rid of completely, because it's ruined college basketball and it's kind of ruined the NBA a little bit, as far as these lower tier teams that are struggling to get out of a hole, because you got all these one and done college players that's coming out too early and wrecking these organizations, because these organizations are putting so much trust in these little kids to take a franchise on their shoulder, a la Trae Young, and take them to a promised land. It's like, dude, that's unrealistic. Like, just stop it. It's stupid.
Let them prove they metal first. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah, it's such a fruitless conversation, man. Who got Trae Young? Who got so and so? Who got
man? I'm not wasting my time on that.
Yeah, they gonna be trash next year too.
Right.
It's like, let's not forget the team that drafted him, where they were eligible to draft him because they sucked.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't get excited, man. How about me in 3, 4, 5 years, man? Now I understand every once in a blue moon you have a prodigy like a LeBron James or a Kobe Bryant that'll completely transform the franchise, but that's not happening every year, man.
No. And even with Kobe Bryant, even back then, it wasn't a big deal that the Charlotte Hornets traded Kobe Bryant to the Lakers for Vlade Divac. Nobody was making a big deal about that. Like, in comparison to Michael Jordan Sam Bowie getting picked over Michael Jordan, that was a big deal back then. But nobody's scolding the Charlotte Hornets to this day about that move, because nobody knew what Kobe Bryant was going to be when he came out. He came out shooting air balls in the playoffs, and everybody was like, oh, he's going to be a bust. And then the next thing you know, he won 3 championships. So we don't know, you know, no one's an expert. It's all about a player's heart and what they bring to the table. Do they really want it, you know? So I don't get into all the draft stuff.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah. Now, I know you haven't been interested in the NFL, so I want to do something fun. Since I am a big NFL fan, I want to challenge you to a game. Since Ian is not a big NFL fan, we're actually going to see how much skill Ian has. Because what I want to do before we go into our next segments, which I can't wait to get into, is we got our first week of NFL games. I'm going to make my picks. Ian's going to make his picks. And then we'll basically, at the end of the year, we'll add up our records.
Right, let's see who is right.
We're going to see who is right. A guy that don't care about football, and it just picks it. His record is like 400 wins and 20 losses. Or me, losing with 20 wins and 400 losses. And I watch every game.
I think I can swing it, man. I think I can. It'll be pure pandemonium, but I can swing it.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, we got. So I'm gonna just start it off simple. We got the Bears. We're gonna start off with the Bears and Green Bay. I think I already know who you're gonna pick for that game.
Man, give me Green Bay all day, man.
Green Bay all day. All right. So we got the Green Bay Packers. I have the Packers as well. So, I'm going to put an initial next to us so I can keep track of our picks. Now, the next game is the Thursday night game, Atlanta and Philly. The game is in Philly. Philly is a 2.5 favorite. Nick Foles is starting.
Oh, man. Give me Philly, man. Give me Philly.
Got Philly? I got Philly, too. So I'll put the Eagles. All right. The next game, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Pittsburgh's a 3.5 favorite.
Oh, man, Pittsburgh all day.
All right, Steelers.
They playing that team with the orange helmet, right?
Yeah, they playing that trash team with the orange Martin Luther King helmet. Yeah.
The helmet made out of candy corn, right?
Yeah, the one they couldn't think of a logo, so they just said, forget it. This is an orange helmet, you know. Yeah. Idiots. Anyway, Indianapolis, Cincinnati. Indianapolis at home, Andrew Luck's first home game back.
Man, I'm going to go for the upset. Give me Cincinnati.
So Ian has the Bengals. I'm going with the Colts here at home. I think Luck's going to have a good homecoming. Tennessee, that this one's going to be a pick 'em. Tennessee Titans versus the Miami Dolphins. Miami on the road, and the points is even, actually. So,
give me Tennessee.
You got Tennessee? I got Tennessee, too. All right. Up next, we got San Fran at Minnesota.
Oh, man, Minnesota.
All right, Vikings. I got Vikings, too. All right, New England at home against Houston. New England's a 7-point favorite.
Pats, man, Pats.
You got the Pats. I'm going to go for the upset because New England has a history of not playing so well in their home openers. So I'm going to go for the upset. I'm going for my boy Deshaun Watson here. I'm representing the black quarterbacks. I'm going with Deshaun. I got Houston for the upset.
Interesting.
All right. And remember last year, Kansas City blew out New England in their home opener, too. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen 2 years in a row, but we'll see. Next, New Orleans at home against Tampa.
Against Tampa? Yeah, give me New Orleans.
Yeah, I got New Orleans, too. That's a no-brainer. Next, we got Jacksonville at the Giants.
Give me Jacksonville, man.
Okay. I got Jacksonville, too. All right, up next. Oh, back to that Jacksonville game. So, I don't know. We were talking about this during fantasy football night Sunday with Chris Wynn and all the homies. And I don't know if you saw the televised interview with Jalen, because remember I told you the last show he had wrote a list of he rated each quarterback in the NFL and talked about how trash they were, and then he just came out and said something. He said something sideways about Gronkowski, and if you get a chance, please, I'm gonna send you the link to that interview after the show, and right, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about that one off camera because I don't want to offend nobody.
That's we're gonna talk about that off wax, huh?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that one off wax because we went in on Jalen Ramsey, man. That dude, I don't know.
I hope he ain't the football version of Eric Bledsoe, man.
I don't know. He might be the football version of RuPaul, but we'll see. Buffalo at Baltimore. The Bills at the Ravens. I got the Ravens.
They're playing in Baltimore. Give me the Ravens.
Okay. Ravens don't even have a quarterback. I mean, Bills don't even have a quarterback. And the Ravens don't either. They got Joe Flacco, who's whack.
Wacko Flacco.
All right. This is a good one. Kansas City on the road against the Chargers with no home fans. You who you got?
I got Kansas City.
You got the Chiefs? I'm gonna go Chargers on this one. So I got the Chargers. All right. Up next, we got the Seahawks going to Mile High Stadium in Denver to play the Broncos? Denver 2.5 favorite.
Give me Denver, man. I ain't too high on the Seahawks these days.
All right. I'm going to go Seahawks on this one. And up next, we got the Washington Redskins on the road against the Arizona Cardinals.
Give me the Cardinals, man.
Okay.
The Redskins, man, like, somebody didn't put a hex on that team, man. Like, I don't know if it's the ancestors or what, man, but I don't think nothing good going to happen for them until they change that name.
You know what? And that's a topic for discussion for a future show, man. I'm still waiting on the development of that to happen, but I'm sure that's going to be a future topic.
Let's talk about it, man. Let's get in on the next one. Let's talk about it, man.
Okay. All right. We'll get it in. I'll make sure I scribble that in for the next show. Definitely. But
like,
in the meantime,
it's like you remember that. Remember that scene in The Color Purple where she was saying, Whoopi's character was like, "Until you do right by me, everything you think about."
That's a perfect analogy. I like that.
Man, yeah. I think that's what's going on, man. It's some bad mojo or something, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go with the Skins on this one. Arizona's, I'm just not sold on them this year, but I'll definitely interested in bouncing off that next week. I might make that the opening segment if nothing crazy happens. Cowboys at Carolina. I already know who you got for this one.
Man, you know I got Carolina.
And you know what? I'm going with Carolina too. So no shocker there. I hate Whoopi Goldberg's lips.
Right. Dak Prescott need to click his heels together 3 times and go back.
Oh, man.
Or the sunken place, wherever he's from.
Yeah, I don't know where he's from. But, okay, so we got the Jets at Detroit, the Lions.
Man, still playing ball?
Yeah, the Jets still playing, man. They still exist, man, sadly.
Man, give me Detroit, man.
I got the Lions too. As much as I hate the Lions, I'm gonna go with the Lions on this one. And last but not least, we got the Rams at the Raiders.
And they playing, where are they playing at?
They playing in LA. I mean Oakland, actually. Oakland.
Man, give me the Raiders, man.
You got the Raiders? I'm going Rams on this one. So all right, and there you have it. We got our picks for the week, and I'll reveal the record on the next show. So there we go. The experience expert, football expert versus the I don't care about football expert. We'll see who wins at the end of the year.
I'm gonna see what happens, man.
Definitely. Now, we're about to get into a very, very interesting.
Don't press in. So when you tweet all that stuff out and you get ready, you look at yourself. Oh, it says, don't press in. So you can think about what you're getting ready to press. Because here's the problem. When you press it, you can't take it back, man. It's out there. And if it's really good, one of those juicy ones, guess what? Da-da-da, we got it.
Herm Edwards is so extra.
Oh, he's super extra, but sometimes he's accurate. I ain't gonna say all the time, but sometimes he's accurate. He's just that angry old man, you know, that he's just stuck in 1970, man, and doesn't care about what's going on. But he spits some facts sometimes too.
Yo, absolutely.
So I don't know if you heard about this story with Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets.
No, fill me in, man. Fill me in.
All right. So, Ian, I know you're not a big social media guy. I would say the last 2.5 years I've been plugged into social media. And Jimmy did probably the biggest don't you can possibly do on social media. So on Instagram, Gabrielle Union posted a rather tantalizing picture of her coming out of a pool, rubbing her hair back. And I'm going to not quote the exact words that Jimmy Butler, first of all, he liked the picture, number one, on Instagram. So he hit the like button. He didn't put sign over the don't hit. They need to add a you know what? I'm gonna add on to what Herm Edwards said. Don't press like.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't press like. Because when you hit that, when you press the like button, you know what's gonna happen? That man, her husband is gonna see it, and he gonna have something to say. So he not only pressed the like button, but he also pressed send. But before he pressed send, he made a comment. He typed in this in all caps. He says, and I quote, "Well darn." End of quote. But he didn't
say.
Hey,
man. Jimmy Butler's out of line for that, man. We don't even need to discuss this. Dude, this is the wife of a colleague. This isn't just some random chick you came upon. This is a wife of a dude you're going to see in them streets. You know what I mean? It's plenty, dude. There's no shortage of IG models. You could go on like they pics. I'm sure they'd be happy to get up with a Jimmy Butler. But mm-hmm. to do that, man, I don't know, man. That's kind of foul, man. It's because we all know what the like send and the DM send and all that. We all know what that's about. You know, that's holla action. You know what I mean? Holla, holla, holla. You know?
Yeah. Let's see. Here's the thing, and here's etiquette. For all you guys that listening to the show, and y'all don't, if you're having problems liking pictures on Instagram or Facebook, wherever you're on, here's a little Instagram, Facebook etiquette, okay? So, say my boy Ian got a Instagram page, right? He posts pictures of his son, little folks, and
hey man, little stone.
Oh, he transitioned. Okay, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that off wax. Wax.
That's off wax.
Okay. So he, you know, posted a little picture of him in a dashiki, putting his fist up before he go see Black Panther. I'm gonna like the picture, right? Ian sees my like. He said, "Oh man, Rod must like that pic. That's what I'm talking about. We about to go see Black Panther. My boys in it, my sons in a dashiki and this and other. That's what's up. Convention pictures, right? Those get posted on Instagram. You posting a nice day one of the convention. Me and a family. You know, you and your son and a wifey. You know,
right?
Hands, arms around the
disagreement. Those are community pictures. Those are community pictures.
Right." But then if your wife posts a picture of herself and, you know, she got herself looking fly and all that other stuff, I'm going to just keep scrolling. I'm on to the next picture, man. Exactly. On to the next picture.
Exactly. That's for the girlfriends, the comment.
That's for the girlfriends. And if you're not sure about liking that picture, it's a way that you can look up who liked the picture. And if you see that it's all women liking this picture, I think it's best that you just go to the next picture and just not like it. You know, marvel over it on your own time, but you don't have to show her physically that you like the picture. But it's also another thing when you actually like the picture, then you make a comment on it. And you think Dwayne Wade let this slide? Well, I'm going to read the rest. Check this out.
Dwayne Wade from Chicago, he ain't letting that slide.
Exactly. He ain't letting that slide. So Jimmy Butler posted a thing on his Instagram page. He posted a caption. It said, "The good, the bad, and the ugly." And Jimmy Butler made a comment and said, "The good, the bad, and the ugly," a.k.a. And then he had added somebody on this one. I guess he wanted one of his friends to see, you know, D-Wade's post. Then D-Wade makes a comment to Jimmy Butler and says, "Put well darn in a cap on my wife's photo again, and you're going to see what the good, the bad, and the ugly is like."
Wow. Shots fired.
Shots fired.
Bang, bang.
Bang, 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 bang. And that comment alone got over 8,000 likes. And then Jimmy replies 23 comments later and says, well, that escalated pretty quickly. Point noted. Am I still invited to the barbecue, bro? What? Come what? On, Jimmy.
No, Jimmy, you sit that one out.
Yeah. You take that L, bro. You got to sit back and take that L, dog.
You sit that one out, man. That's like... I hate to reference this, man. That kind of reminds me of the movie. Remember the movie in Dead Presidents when they was in the pool hall? Terrence Howard's character was complimenting dude's wife.
Yeah. Didn't he hit him with a pool stick? Yeah, with a pool stick. Yeah.
He was out of bounds, man. He was out of bounds.
He was definitely out of bounds. Like, and they had the big payback playing in the background.
Yep. And the dude who ran the pool hall let him get beat down because he knew the dude had it coming.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's Jimmy Butler, man. Someone need to create that meme, man.
I'm definitely on to looking for that meme. It's not too many dead presidents memes out there.
What kills me is the patch up, the attempted patch up. Like, oh man, my fault, bro. I'm still invited to the barbecue, huh? Right? Like, no, man, you ain't invited to the barbecue, man.
No.
You know,
like
he trying to pull a Terrence Howard. Ah man, I'm just complimenting your taste. Like, no, dude, you was out of bounds, dude. You was hoping to get something popping and nothing happened and you got called out on it.
Yeah. You got popped. That's what happened. You got popped. So Jimmy, here's a message for you. Don't press send. Or another message for you. Don't hit the like button unless you it's Instagram model or something other than Gabrielle Union or whoever basketball player has a wife. Don't be liking other people's wives' bathing suit shots, man. That's not cool, dude. That's not cool at all. So I need a little education because I was able to educate you earlier on the football season a little bit. I need you to educate me on Michael Kopech because I'm just now grabbing onto this story.
Okay.
So you're familiar with this issue. So I'm gonna let you take the floor.
All right. As the resident angry light-skinned guy of the podcast, you know, I feel I'm qualified to speak on this. You know, race relations is something that's very dear to me.
right.
Basically what happened, man, Michael Kopech, when he was about 17, it's crazy that Twitter is even this old now. Oh, it blows my mind. But when he was about 17, man. I guess 5 years or so ago, he cracked some jokes on Twitter, some racist jokes, straight up dropped the N-bomb, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The mother of all racist terms. To my understanding, he apologized for it a couple of times, you know, profusely. You know, people have kind of pointed out that, you know, it was some time ago. He was young and dumb, blah, blah, blah. He actually has a biracial girlfriend now. And, you know, he's come out and said that that's not who the person he was then is not who he is today. It was stupid for him to do it back then. And he was, you know, sorely sorry for it. So I don't even know how these tweets came back up. Do you know what brought them back up?
Oh, I know. Hackers. Hackers. Simple as that. You know, it's like if somebody runs for president, right? You know how it was when Obama ran for president. Everybody was like, oh, he's black. He's for sure black. And then the hackers got involved. And then this whole story about his parents being from Hawaii and they're not really black. And you remember that, didn't you?
Of course.
When he was running up against McCain. So it was like, you know, they can find things, you know, even recently with our president of today, Donald Trump, when he was running for president, they found, you know, this all of these girls in the beauty pageant or whatever, the Miss America, whatever. They all came out and said that he was saying stuff about him. Then that conversation that he had with that one dude where he was talking about, yeah, I do. I look at the girls in the bathroom and I touch on them and do this, that, and the other. And it kind of, you know, almost messed up his chances of being president.
Almost.
Yeah. So it's like, you gotta, when you become a celebrity status, or you are become a major sports mogul, especially with a guy like Kopech who's coming in, the White Sox fans are looking at him as the next big pitcher to take them to, you know, the next level. And then this come out, and it's like, what? Mostly all, most Sox fans are African American or Latino.
Yep, yep.
So, as a white, I'm asking you, and as a White Sox fan, how do you feel about him moving forward? Even it, say his career does turn out successful.
Well, tell you what, I, as a White Sox fan, I was very conflicted about this because I'm rooting for my team every year, but it's going to be hard to root for this guy in particular. I wish he was on like the Rockies or the Mets to make it all that, you know, to make it all that more easier to root against him. You
right.
know, it's going to be hard rooting for him and rooting for the team at the same time. Now, I will say this, you know, I'm not going to pound on the dude too much. He seemed to be truly sorry about what he said. So, you know, as long as he's learned from it, you know, like, and, you know, does some work to show he's a changed man, perhaps become active in the community, like the way Joakim Noah was, to kind right. of, you know, put his money where his mouth is, so to speak, you know, I'd feel much better about it. I'm not going to pile on the dude too much. The comments were made when he was 17. I'll be honest with you, man. If social media existed when I was 17, if you recorded everything I said as a teenager, you would have got me saying some racist stuff.
Oh, man, me too.
About white people. Yeah. So, you know, fortunately, we didn't have social media that where we could, like, air out our stupidity, you know, and it'd be a permanent record of it. So for that reason, I'm not going to pound on the dude too much. I'm going to give him a second chance. But at the same time, nigga, my eyes on you.
Hey, you heard that. If he does listen to any type of podcast, you heard it here first. You heard it here from Ian.
I'm watching. Yeah.
I will say this on a side note. I am, as a Cubs fan, for those who might not know, I am jealous that the Kopech do got some good stuff, man. He's a pretty good pitcher, man. Y'all got a good one.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's good. Yeah. He's good, you know, but like I said, I'm watching him.
All right.
Get out of line. Don't get out of line, dude. Be you know, be cool now.
Most definitely.
I will make sure the community will come after you with everything we have.
All right. So I don't know if you heard that doorbell.
What was that? Right.
That was a doorbell. Which sets the tone for my next segment. We're gonna call this door to door. Now, for you know, me and Ian are involved in a volunteer work where we go door to door spreading a message of truth to many. But there are times where people are either interested in what we're talking about or they're not interested in what we're talking about. So I'm going to go door to door myself. Ian's going to be our neighbor. And I'm going to present a topic to him. And if he's interested, we're going to talk about it. If he's not interested, he's going to turn me down like those that turn us down in the door-to-door ministry do.
I like this. Let's do it, man. I'm ready.
All right. So you and the hunters, right? So,
hey, so you know when you ring our doorbells, we got to shout, who is it?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So I'm on what hunters? What actual hunters are you at? Because I got to be in a territory.
Currently, I'm on 109th and Doty Road, but I stay on 107th. But I represent the 10 tray, man.
The 10 tray. So 110. So
103rd.
So I'm at 10301. All right. So I'm going to ring the doorbell and here we go.
Yes.
Hey, My name is Rodney Walker, and I'm here because I have a topic of discussion involving Colin Kaepernick. He is now the face of Nike.
Are you interested? I am very interested in your message. Please come inside and have some sweet tea.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. So, my question to you, Ian, is how do you feel about Colin Kaepernick being the face of Nike?
Man, dude, I am so props to Nike for having the balls to pull this move. You know, we here at Magnificent Vibes, this is a politically neutral podcast, but, you know, I give props to people for standing up for what they believe in, even when it's at a great cost to them.
Right.
Personally, you know, this dude got blackballed. Like, just put it in a nutshell, he got blackballed for taking a stance. Everybody's even forgotten what he's taking a stance about and made it about the demonstration. You know, like, we sit up here and we, you know, man, like in my past teenage years, I was very involved. I don't even want to say involved, but I hung around a lot of socially conscious, socially active people. And the constant mantra and motto was like, man, you know, ever since Martin and Malcolm got killed, you know, we ain't had nobody to stand up for black issues, and you know, what's wrong with these rappers and what's wrong with these athletes? And then you finally get someone who stands up for black issues. And, you know, I think Colin Kaepernick's support has been pretty solid, but he needs the community to kind of like not forget what he's doing, you know? And I think Nike, by making him the face or one of the faces of their company now, I think that's a good move to kind of show people that, you know, you can stand up for what you believe in and not have to lose everything.
Right, right. Definitely. One thing that I saw that was disturbing was the backlash. And again, we are a neutral show here.
The backlash against Colin Kaepernick or Nike?
The backlash against Nike, actually, for this move.
Nike ain't heard about them people. They get
and I know that. They said Twitter pretty much.
Keep getting them checks, Nike.
Yeah, keep getting them. Keep getting them. Keep getting them. And for those people that are setting Nikes on fire, let me tell you how dumb that is. You just wasted all of your money. You realize that, right? You're not hurting anybody but your bank account when you burn these Nikes and set them on fire on Twitter and post them. Like, what are you proving? What are you proving by standing up and burning your Nikes? Is Nike paying your bills? No.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that. Like, I figured there would be some backlash, but I didn't
know. So it's similar to, remember when LeBron James originally left Cleveland and people dropped the Cleveland jersey on the ground and then they set it on fire? So, you know, it's kind of been a trend ever since when somebody gets traded or somebody decides to leave a certain team, they throw the jersey down and set it on fire. Well, now you got people throwing their Nikes down and they're sitting there and they take a lighter and they light them up and light their Nikes on fire as a protest to Nike making Colin Kaepernick the face of the organization.
It just shows how twisted the world is. People are more angry about a gesture than they are about a life being taken. You know, this too shall pass. Nike's going to be all right. Colin Kaepernick's going to be all right. This is going to pass over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
I'm curious. Who was Colin Kaepernick's shoe endorsement before Nike?
You know what? Funny you ask that. I'm going to have to look that up. I actually don't know.
Okay, that'll be our homework assignment for next
year. Yeah, definitely. We'll get that information. All right. So, man, Ian, thank you. I actually have to go to the next door. Thank you for talking about this topic with me. And we're going to go to the next door. All right. All right.
I'm fine with that, neighbor.
Oh, thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. So I'm about to go to this next door.
Yes.
My name is Rodney Walker, and I have a topic for you. Serena Williams doesn't want to celebrate her baby's birthday for religious reasons. Do you have time to talk about this?
Yes, I do. Please come in and enjoy some Hawaiian punch.
Oh, man, dude, that's my favorite drink. Thanks. All right. So, man, I don't know if you heard about this, but Serena Williams revealed that the reason why she will not celebrate her daughter's birthday is because that she is a Jehovah's Witness. Like myself.
And like myself.
And so how do you feel about this?
Now, to my knowledge, she's never been baptized and dedicated, correct?
No.
Okay. I don't know. Like, I'm gonna reserve judgment on this. Maybe she one day plans on becoming dedicated and baptized. That's the official stamp of a Witness of Jehovah. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't have a grandmother, you know, who's a witness and just claim it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
There is a very, you have to, there's a process to make sure you're well informed of the doctrine and wholeheartedly agree with the doctrine before you can publicly identify yourself as one. So mm-hmm. just to put that out there, if anyone's unclear, you know, hey, like, she's clearly not living up to all the principles of, you know, those who choose to dedicate their life to service of Jehovah. But if she, you know, everyone's got to start somewhere. So if this is where she's going to start with that, you know, cool. You know, but it would be great to not have to see her running around a tennis court draped in the American flag as well. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do it, Serena, do it. Do it. But don't play with it.
Yeah, don't play with it. You know, if you're going to make that decision, you know, I think she's going to probably, I think it's going to be something she's going to pursue. I think it's going to be something she pursues after her career, like hardcore. Kind of like what Prince did when, you know, he kind of got out of music for a little bit and he started going to conventions and going to the congregation. Like, I think it's going to be one of those deals. One thing I did respect that she did say, actually not her, but the person that originally wrote the column, he actually got his information on Jehovah's Witnesses off our website, which I thought was pretty, that was a huge, I give him a huge ton of respect for that, because most people would probably get their resources from somewhere else. But he kind of,
third party that's not fully informed or
exactly. Exactly.
The dislike of Jehovah's Witnesses for whatever reason. But I also say this, Serena Williams, we've had worse representation. I loathe it to this day, the idea that Michael Jackson was labeled one of us when he clearly wasn't. It's like his mom was one, he was never one, his siblings weren't, with the exception of maybe like one out of the 10. And Joe definitely wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Anybody listening, man, we don't claim Mike, man.
No, we don't. We don't. I don't even think he was truly disfellowshipped like people say he was.
He wasn't. You got to be baptized to be disfellowshipped.
You got to be Yeah, and they never. There's never a record of saying that he was baptized as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. So it is. It
you
is.
You know, I think
he might
have respected it. You know, but he clearly wasn't about that life. You know what'd be cool? I was talking about this with my wife. The other day, you know what would be great representation for us since Prince died? If Obama came in the truth.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I heard from some, it was some friends from Hyde Park. I don't think Hyde Park is no longer a congregation anymore, which is a story for another day. They are? Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard that witnesses have talked to him at the door, and he usually comes out and conversates with the witnesses and have good conversations with them. But I heard Michelle is opposed. Like, she wasn't having that nonsense.
Michelle.
Nah, Michelle wasn't having it, dog.
Not Michelle.
Mm-mm.
Oh, mm-mm. Man, that breaks my heart, man.
Yeah, Michelle wasn't trying to hear us, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Michelle, if you're listening, man, holler at your boy, man. I can set straight any misconceptions that you have, man. Any
please. please, because she's a good person, man. I'm sure she, I mean, Michelle looked like Michelle always said this. Michelle looks like she's a 25-year plus pioneer. That's how I always looked at her. Like they both look like a witness couple, you know.
They do. He looks like a circuit overseer. I had a dream one time. This was like maybe about 4 years ago. I had a dream one time that Obama was my new circuit. Working for my service. It's like, yeah, so you've been reappointed, huh? it's all part of the plan.
Oh man, stop it, Ed. I can see him on a judicial committee. So,
dude, I can see him giving a keynote address, dude. Stay awake, stand firm.
That's good. I've been trying to work on my Obama impersonation is terrible. That's good. That's solid.
Yeah. Yeah, Michelle, holla at your boy, man. I set you straight, man. We don't mean no harm.
All right. Well, moving on. I'm going to go on to the next door. Thanks for talking to me, man, about this topic.
Absolutely. Come back anytime.
Right. Definitely. Man, we'll sip some more. Let's if you got that blueberry flavored Hawaiian punch.
Oh, man, you know, that's the good stuff. I don't keep that in the house.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, next time I'll... All right. All right. On to the next door.
Yeah. Who is it?
My name is Rodney, and I have a topic of discussion in regards to boxer Curtis Harper walking out of the ring before a fight.
Not interested.
All right. He's a punk anyway. But you have a nice day, sir.
You do the same.
All right. Next, this is my last door because I got to go on break after this. I got to get me some coffee or something, you know, get my stuff going.
It's hot outside. You might need a slushy, man.
Exactly.
You want to have some cranberry slushies.
All right.
Yes, who is it?
My name is Rodney Walker, and I have a topic of discussion for you today. Lauryn Hill actually replied to a comment that Robert Glasper made about her, about not being a real artist. Are you interested in talking about this?
I'm not gonna invite you in, but I'm gonna state my opinion here at the door.
Okay.
Lauryn Hill sound guilty. That's all I got to say.
Okay. All right. And that leads into our next segment.
All right, you catch that?
Yep.
All right, cool.
And clear. Yeah. Lauryn, ain't nobody come see you, man.
Yeah, she's done damage to her own reputation, like, long before Robert Glasper ever had anything to say. You know, I mean, I know people who've seen her show firsthand recently and, like, had nothing but bad to say about it. You know, and I read an article out because I was like, okay, why is she showing up late? What's going on? Is it a bad show promoter? Is she being misinformed? Like, do they not have her stuff ready? Because sometimes you can have janky show promoters and, you know, they allow the opening act to play on too long or something. Like, you know, I get it. That stuff happens in entertainment. But, like, she was saying that she was waiting 3-4 hours to go on stage. This is from Lauryn Hill's mouth. Because she wanted to wait till all her chakras were in line and she could give the best performance. And it's like, oh my God. Like you sound loony. You sound crazy, man. Like you these people have paid good, hard earned money to see you perform and you know, they're not getting a good show. You know, you're going on 3-4 hours later. Some of these people got babysitters they gotta pay. They got to leave because they got to go get their kids because you want to wait till your chakras are in line or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lauryn, get over yourself, man. Ain't nobody coming to see you no more.
Definitely not, man.
I'd rather see Wyclef in concert than Lauryn right now.
You know what? I would rather see Wyclef too. And he's still putting out good music. I actually liked his last project. So, hey, it is what it is. Like, Lauren, you have all these great artists who stand the test of time. And if you're going to continue to ride one album for the rest of your life, people going to get tired of hearing it. It's done. Like, I'm no longer get excited about listening to Miss Education's Lauryn Hill anymore. Cause it's like,
and I think, not to cut you off, but like, I think that's part of the reason why her shows have dipped in quality. I think it kind of dawned on her, like, over the past 10 years, like, oh crap, like, I don't have a whole lot of material to perform.
No.
Change things up here, change things up there on the spot with the band. I'm going to do a different interpolation of this song. And, you know, y'all going to be happy with that because I'm a genius and I'm Lauryn Hill. And, you know, because of Miseducation, y'all gonna take this and y'all going to enjoy it. Like,
no.
But, dude, she probably only got 20, 25 minutes worth of material people really want to hear that bad.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not, you know, my wife was trying to get me to go to one of her concerts this year. And I just told her, I was like, man, I'm not enthused at all to go to any of her concerts. I keep hearing bad things, and
I don't want to waste my
money on that. I would rather spend my money on the artists that care about their craft and want to continue to give me good music. I don't want to waste my money on somebody who ain't put out nothing new in the last 20 years since I've been in high school. And
Bill Clinton was president last time she released the album.
Exactly. Like, I don't, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't get excited when, you know how, I'm going to use Wu-Tang for example. Wu-Tang has come out with so much material over the years. But you know why we still get excited when Cash Rules Everything Around Me come on? Because it stood the test of time, because they put out so much music that you can backtrack to that and you still get excited about it. With Lauryn Hill, you can't get excited about it because it's the only thing she has.
Right. Well, Wu-Tang, you got at least 20 albums, group and solo projects, that you could pick from and get classic material from. And with Lauryn Hill, you just don't you just don't have that. And I'm not saying the music that she has done doesn't withstand the test of time, because it does. But people are only going to want to hear the same song so many times. Like, I'm real curious, man. When your wife invited you to the concert, how much were the tickets?
Man, it was about $40, but okay. You know that, but it's online. So, you know, you got convenience fees, you got taxes, you know, Chicago taxes is crazy. So you're talking about a $40 ticket turning into a $60 ticket, which means I got to get two tickets because I'm buying for me and my wife. So that's $130 that I'm spending on a artist that's going to show up late for a concert and remix all her songs off her same album that I've heard a billion times. I don't want to pay for that.
Yeah, no thank you. I spent $65 on a concert for Rock the Bells 2008, dude. It was the best concert of my life.
I'm still jealous of you to this day that I missed that.
I got to see, not only did I get to see a lot of my favorite artists, I got to meet them, like hands-on meet them, like shake up with them, because like, the way it went, with it being all day, the way it was set up, an artist would, he would get done with his set and he would just like come down the stairs and just walk around through the audience shaking up with people on his way to get like a drink or something, man.
Oh, that's what's up.
It was what was up, man. It was, man, Nas, Farside, De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, J Electronica, Rakim, MERS, Redman and Method Man. And I'm forgetting
that's
a ton
the dream of team, man. That's not even Golden State Warriors status. That's dream team status.
Immortal
bro.
Technique, Supernatural.
That's like,
yeah, that's Prez.
That's the 92 dream team, bro.
It was awesome, man. It was awesome. Best show I've seen performed in front of me. But my best concert experience was probably that Congress Theater show.
Oh yeah, I was there too. The Roots. Oh my God, that was insane. The fact that they performed Game Theory and it didn't even come out yet, and everybody was rocking to it, was amazing.
That was a good show.
Yeah, and when I got Game Theory came out like a week later, and I'm listening to it, I'm like, bruh, they performed this whole album in the concert, and we didn't even realize it.
Yeah, we didn't even know, but
It was still dope. Yeah, it was like we was at a listening party plus a regular Rooks concert all at once.
Yep.
So yeah, that was great, which leads into our final segment. What you been vibing on this week? I know you've been under the weather, but
I've been a little under the weather, man. But one album I did get to check out, I'm pretty sure you've heard of this group. It's an African funk group. They do like breakbeats and stuff and live compositions. The Shaolin Afronauts.
Okay.
The name of the album I've been bumping is Quest Under Capricorn. And it's a lot of funk, a lot of breakbeats, instrumental, just really lush instrumental joints and compositions. Okay. Some classic B-boy stuff, man. But yeah, the Shaolin Afronauts, check them out. Good stuff, man.
I'm going to definitely look up one of their tracks and I'm going to post it. I'm going to actually add it to this episode, definitely.
Man, there's a track. There's a track I'm going to send you that you got it.
Send it to me.
Yeah, it represents their sound very well.
Okay.
After we disconnect, give me like 60 seconds. I'll find it and send it on to you.
Definitely. I've been listening. Like I said, last week I was out of commission, so I wasn't really listening to anything. I backtracked and kind of listened to the Foreign Exchange and the Connective for your face-off competition. That was just a refresher for me. I really didn't contemplate on listening to those because, I was sick. But yesterday, I rewind to 2017 and was bumping that Zion 2 by Ninth Wonder. If you haven't heard this, it's Ninth Wonder at his finest, bro. I'm talking some of the best samples that he found of songs that I never heard of, and he just chopped them up and just... I mean, it's Ninth Wonder at his finest, man.
It's a dope beat tape. It's a dope beat tape. Came out of nowhere. I can only describe this beat tape as hypnotic.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, yo, man, just give me more, man. Give me more. Like, right. I can't get enough. No homo. Ninth Wonder.
And that's when you know what's crazy to bounce off what you just said. It's 40 tracks, and you still like, bruh.
Yeah,
like,
it's 40 tracks.
Give me more. Yeah, and it's not like 40 tracks of 5-minute-long, 6-minute-long tracks. This is just like well-organized, minute and a half, 2 minutes, and they all, I'm talking about everything. I put this album on shuffle, and it's still blended together one time. I was at a gathering not too long ago, and I played this just in the background, and Cass was like, man, what is this? I was like, hey man, it's that Zion 2, man. You know, I just, because they wanted me to put something on their speaker, you know, those Bluetooth speakers or whatever, and control it from my phone. So I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna just throw
Rodney, man, don't give away too many of your secrets though, man. You gotta make them dig for it though.
I was just giving them something. I'm like, man, I'm off this, but y'all can have this type thing. Like, you know, y'all are still not gonna catch up to me, but I just
right. We didn't moved on to Cloth Layer, man.
We
didn't moved on to E. Jones and Cooking Soul.
Yeah, come on, man. We on that right now, man. So while y'all catch up with the Zion 2, and you know, the Shaolin Afronauts. Definitely, y'all gonna hear some tracks after this show, and man, that's what we do here at Magnificent Vibes. Pop the trunk.
Hey, man, one thing I like to say before we go, man, Stay Ops is good, but Magnificent Vibes is for the children, man.
That's right, it's for the kids. It's for the kids. Tune in. Hey, find out, also check out the latest episode of Vibes and Stuff, because there is a winner of the ever so coveted best hip hop group of all time. There's a lot of controversy. If you also don't just come. Actually, don't start with the Final Four. Start from the beginning. So if you miss the episode before that, check that out too. So you can start from the beginning, listen to the tournament. I'm not going to reveal who won it, but
fine. You can find out the fate of your favorite group, man.
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It was a good discussion. I felt that the winner who won was a well-deserved win. It was a well-deserved win. You know, it wasn't no scrubs that won it. You know what I'm saying? So check it out, man. Check it out. We got some more material coming up fresh, hopefully this week. We got another album face-off. I can't decide what I want to go with. I'm contemplating dipping into the instrumental albums for album face-offs. I was thinking of putting Donuts up against Peach Jamentals.
That's a good matchup.
That's a real good
matchup. You got me thinking on that one.
You know, but check it out, man. We got more material coming down the pipe, man.
Yes, most definitely. Only thing that I was disappointed with the whole group thing, the groups, man, my boys Criss Cross wasn't in it. The Youngsters, ABC, another bad creation. Man, come on, man. Y'all gotta show my young group some love. Aisha was a classic, dog. It had me feeling some kind of way in fourth grade.
Right. Oh man.
But all right, man, that will wrap up the show. And tune in next week. And actually, next week, I'm going to be in Florida. So I'm going to still try to record out there if I get good connection. So I'll be letting, if we air next week, that's where I'm going to be.
Don't get shot, man. It's crazy out there in Florida.
Oh, yeah. I know I got to be careful. But it's all love, man. I'm going to be under some good, heavy spiritual protection down there. So hopefully we'll be all right.
Good, man. All right, cool, man. I'm going to send that track to you. And, yeah, man, thanks for having me on.
All right, live from the Hundreds. Peace out.
You know it.
What I felt is past tense. What I feel you just haven't heard. So, I think it's better.
Thank you.